8 tonight of a series we're doing, Faith in Light of the Lamb. This is part 8 again. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit for a few minutes, rather, concerning the work of faith. Anybody know that faith is a work, right? Everybody know that faith is a work. The work of faith. We'll read it in the Bible. Let me start with just reading a couple of scriptures here. Both of them are in Thessalonians. The first one is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll read verses 3 through 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And then we'll read the next one, and then we'll just let the Lord lead us tonight. Everybody got it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And we'll come back to this in a minute and go through this a little slower, but I hope you recognized that when you believe, it's faith. When your faith is at work, there's fruit. If there is no fruit, it's because there is no faith at work. When faith is functioning, there is fruit. When there is no fruit, there is no faith. To say the least, if there is no fruit, faith, the Bible says, in James, is it 2:20, says your faith is a dead faith. Amen. So let's read the second one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Wow. And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So both of those scriptures reveal this phrase, work of faith. Faith is a work. The Bible says in Galatians 5:6, faith works by love, but it works. Faith works. If faith is not working, then I'm not living, because I live by faith. That means I live by faith working. Not me saying I have faith. I live by faith working. Somebody said, amen. I live by faith working. Let me say it over here. I live by faith working. If my faith is not working, I'm not experiencing Christianity, life in Christ. I don't experience that by saying it. I don't speak myself into the existence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I believe what I have to believe to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We'll come back to those two. I want to read some things I wrote in my notes, not very much, but here at the beginning of this message, and I want to read them concerning faith. Obviously, faith is a work, but it is a work of the Holy Spirit in and through the believing heart of man. There is no separation from the Holy Spirit at work from faith at work. Now, this might sound simple to you, but we got a big body of Christ that don't know these simple things. I can promise you, the most of it does not. that the working of faith is always the working of the Holy Spirit. Because it can't be faith and not be the Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit to do anything. What did Jesus say? You can do how much without me? No thing, nothing. And for us, that means we can do nothing without the Spirit of Christ. Because that's who's living in us. Christ by His Spirit. That we have the Spirit of Christ living within us. So when there's faith going on in my life, that's a move of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's the spirit of faith. We've talked about it. If you've missed them, you need to go back and listen. And if you listened, you need to go back and listen again. These things might sound basic, but they're really not basic. They shouldn't be, but they are to a church today in the time in which we're living. This last day's church doesn't know very much about faith at all. You start talking to them, you'll find out that most of them don't even know there's one object of faith, and that's Christ and Him crucified. Most of them think they can just speak something into being, and we'll see tonight, by the time we get through this, hopefully you'll see that you can't do that. So let me read that again. Obviously, faith is a work, but it is a work of the Holy Spirit in and through the believing heart of man. We've heard it said that the book of Acts is the story written for us concerning the Acts of the Apostles. And that's true if you want to say that, but you got to know the deeper truth, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, there are no works in men that's of God. So the whole book of Acts is the early church learning to be led by the Spirit, preach and teach what the Spirit gives them utterance to preach and teach. Amen. To love and a whole list of other things, such as to be a deacons, being full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, to be deacons, to take care of the people in the body of Christ. A whole list of things that the Holy Spirit is responsible but required to be able to experience. You can't do anything by yourself. You got to have the Holy Spirit if it's of God. So to reckon by faith that which does not To reckon by faith that which is does not mean that we visualize or imagine something. Now, I'm going to do my best to explain this tonight. But imagination fights against faith. Because imagination, your imagination can only produce unreal images. And you can't call that faith. Faith is not imagining something. Faith is not imagining something. And I've been telling you that over the past few weeks, if you'll remember, that you can't just have a picture in your head of something and live by that. Matter of fact, that's a sin. You have to have your faith in what's written. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. The Word is there to see. The Word is there to hear. And no matter what picture it gives us, and it gives us all a picture, but we don't live by the picture that we see. Because tomorrow, we might not see that picture. We live by what we can see when we open this book. We live by the Word. We don't live by imaginations. And we got to understand that. Imagination is not faith, and it works against faith, for it can only produce images from our finite minds that are not real. And then if we aren't careful, we'll attempt to attach reality to them and call it faith. You've got a Bible. That's where faith's going to come from, not some picture we have. Everybody in this room, everybody that belongs to the body of Christ, when we start talking spiritual things, we all get different pictures. When we talk about Christ crucified, we all, if we talk about the picture of that day and what it might have looked like, don't none of us really know, because we all see that in our minds with pictures that are all so different. But what we have is written words. As Andrew ministered a few days ago, we have a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than anything your mind can see. Because we're not called to live by what our mind sees. We're called to live by faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Because all the pictures we have are different. No matter if it's something truthful that we're hearing, we're still seeing it in images that are different. So we cannot live by those. So listen to this, one of the last comments. Faith can never create anything. Faith can never create anything. Now, a lot of the church thinks it can. Teaching lots of false things about faith. Faith cannot create anything, but can only reckon that which already is. The Word of God already is. Faith cannot create anything. Do not listen to people telling you just to close your eyes and I just want you to see this picture. It don't matter. You're going to see a different picture than what he's seeing and what they're seeing and what everybody in the room is seeing. What we need to do is open our eyes and look in the book. The Word. Hallelujah. The Word. Faith comes by hearing what's already written. And faith is not going to create anything. We can't create anything. That's as silly as turning the lights out and putting black lights in the bub holes and putting black light posters up and putting a little smoke coming out and call it creating an atmosphere for worship. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. Thinking that we can set a scene for God to move when God set the scene for Him to be able to move 2,000 years ago. We can't do all these things in the natural. That's all fleshly. That's all flesh. And only fleshly faith, as Pastor Clint would call it, does those things. Flesh faith. Flesh faith. Everybody in the world's got faith, but not all men have the faith. We need to know that. So faith can never create anything, but can only reckon, that means acknowledge and believe that which already is. You're not going to speak something into existence because your flesh wants it. That is evil. And much of the church, what we came out of, disagrees with what I'm saying right now. And they will use Scripture, but it will be to their own destruction because it's an impossibility for you to speak anything into existence that does not exist. That belongs to God alone. He's the only one that can do that. Amen. But there's so much silliness in the church today that if we don't understand truth, we won't understand the work of faith. You got to understand truth. You got to understand the focus of Calvary. And if you don't, and that's not our focus, and I know it is here, and many more, they're being raised up to preach this message and to believe this and have the focus. But if we don't know the focus is the Lamb and what He did at Calvary, then we will be doing a whole lot of works, but it will not be the work of faith. Faith, really, it's the work of Jesus Christ being carried out in and through man's believing heart by the Holy Spirit that will always have the fruit of Christ's finished work. If it's faith, it's going to have the fruit of what's written in the Word. If it's faith, it comes by hearing the Word, and that's the only place it can come from. And notice, it has to come. It has to come. Faith does what? Comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God is required. Hearing the Word of God is required. But then mixing the faith that comes with the Word you're hearing is required. You understand that? Where was that in Hebrews? Where? 2 or 4, where it says, they had the gospel preached to them too, but it did not profit them because they did not mix faith in the Word when they heard it. The truth of the gospel, the Word of the truth of the gospel, brings the faith with it you need. It's called the Word of faith, Paul said, that we preach. So when the Word of the truth of the gospel comes, faith is offered. And when you mix the faith that's offered with that truth you're hearing, then you're experiencing what you heard. If you don't experience what you heard by faith, then that means you're just hearing, but you're not doing, and that means I'm deceiving myself. That's what the Bible says. Somebody said amen. So let me read that again. I got a scripture for you. Faith is the work of Jesus Christ. Anything we're involved in that's of the Lord, of God, is Jesus by His Spirit carrying out the work that's already finished. The fruit of the work that's already finished. All our work of faith is based on a finished work. Everything that we do flows out of a finished work because it takes the power of God to do anything. And the power of God that He says is toward us who believe, Ephesians 1:20, is seen, He says, as He wrought that work, as He raised Christ from the dead. That power only flows out of death and through our hearts who are trusting in that death that God is working in us, and out of that comes the fruit of our salvation. Watch. 1 Peter 1 and 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, who are kept, talking about us, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now, this is not talking about initial salvation. This is talking about keeping salvation. This is talking about that we're saved, and now God is keeping us by the power of God through faith unto what? Salvation. That means it's got to have fruit of our salvation. It says ready to be revealed in the last time. Aren't you glad that you're being prepared to be revealed in the last time? You ought to be shouting right now. He's preparing us right now through the preaching and the teaching of His Son and what He did at Calvary from Genesis to Revelation to be revealed in the last time. What's He going to reveal? He's going to reveal that we're saved by the blood of Jesus. He's not going to reveal that we had it all right. He's not going to reveal that we were better than anybody. He's not going to reveal anything but Christ in us, hallelujah, is now a manifestation that we are the people of God. We were in Christ and we will always be with Christ. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's powerful. So faith is the work of Jesus being carried out in and through our believing hearts by the Holy Spirit that will always have the fruit of Christ's finished work. Always. Always. If the testimony is not the blood of Jesus, I don't know. If the testimony is not the blood of Jesus, the Bible says we can't overcome by anything but the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. Amen. Amen. Now let's go back to the verses we first read. We call them our springboard scriptures because we kind of bounce on them and then take off. Spring into action. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7 again. Watch what we'll see here tonight as the Holy Spirit imparts truth into your heart and keeps the glow that burns from Calvary's hill burning in your hearts as you see the cross all throughout the Bible. In verse 3, the Bible says, remembering without ceasing. He's talking about Him. He's writing this. We are remembering without ever ceasing your work of faith. Your work of faith. This ministry is about a work of faith. Because if it's not the work of faith, it's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, you can't separate the two. And so if you get faith wrong, you got the Holy Spirit wrong. Think about that. Because you can never separate faith from the Holy Spirit, because if it's the Holy Spirit, He's going to lead you by faith and have the fruit of you being led by Him. And whatever is of faith is of the Spirit of faith. That means the faith that is only of the Spirit. So watch as we read through this, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. and patience of hope. Look at the result of the work of faith. And it is, the rest of these things are a result of the work of faith, because without faith, the rest don't exist. It's not just this or this or this. No, without the work of faith, there is no labor of love. Without the work of faith, there is no patience of hope. Because without the work of faith, there is no work of the Holy Spirit. He's being denied. Amen. Everybody doing good? So let's read it again. It's so beautiful. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. You Thessalonians, man, all I can do is remember your work of faith. I hope somebody would say that about Crossway Church. Man, I every time I think of them, I just think about just their work of faith and their labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Now, this apostle who wrote this, Paul, he knew what God was looking for. To be able to say that, he knew what the Lord was looking for. Who is he to say what God's looking at? Because he's the apostle given to us Gentiles who brought the word of the gospel to us and things that accompany the gospel. So he goes on to say, and look at the fruit of the work of faith. It's the labor of love. It's the patience of hope. And it takes place in our Lord Jesus Christ, not outside of him. You say, well, I'm in him. Yeah, but everything you do is not from your position of being in him. Can I get a witness? Every word I speak doesn't flow out of a heart that's trusting in what he did at Calvary. Can I get a witness? I know I'm not the only one. But the fruit is, he says that it's in the sight of God and our Father. In just a little vocabulary lesson tonight, there is not God and then Father. When he says "and" is used here, he's talking about God who is our Father. There's not God and then there's the Father. No, in the sight of God and our Father. It's not two different things. And you need that happens a lot in the Word if you hadn't recognized that. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. There's the cross again. At the cross is where he elected you. Man, you wasn't running for office. He just elected you. You wasn't running for nothing. He came and gave his son on Calvary's cross so he could elect by grace whoever would believe upon him. Amen. This ain't no competition thing. He elected us by grace. We wasn't even running for it. We didn't have nothing to run for. Look at this now. Knowing, that word's important. Knowing your election. See, what he brings the focus back to is what God did to be able to elect you and what you did to be able to be elected, which was you believed from the heart in the gospel. Knowing your election, brethren, beloved of God. Look, here comes even more intense focus. Because our gospel, see, it's all wrapped up in the gospel. If everything is not all wrapped up in the gospel, and the gospel has to be talked about. We can't just assume that everybody's got their faith in the gospel or that everybody even is learning what the gospel is all about. We've got to stay the course with the gospel. Because all of this, let me just read it again. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, because our gospel, everything is about the gospel. Everything is about God becoming a man so that we could be forgiven of our sins and welcomed into the beloved of God. Everything is about what God did on the cross through his son. Because our gospel came not unto you in word only. That means it was more than a message to these folks. Y'all ready for this tonight? The gospel's more than word. The Bible even says that the kingdom of heaven is not in word. or say kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, one of those, is not in word, but in power. It's not in word, but it's in power. You can hear the gospel just sat there. I mean, how many, the whole earth perished, and they heard what the preacher was preaching for many years, called Noah. They heard it. They didn't believe it. And they perished. Watch now. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Oh, it came in word, but it didn't come in word only. See, this is the... Hopefully we'll see a little better than that. The power of the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel, watch. It didn't come unto you in word only. It was more than a message, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. There was a power there, the power of God, to not cause them or make them, but to give them an opportunity to believe. You can't do that without the Holy Spirit. You can't believe without the Holy Spirit. Peter wrote, I don't know where he wrote it. I hadn't got that down here in my notes tonight, but the Bible says, Peter wrote it, that we believe God by Jesus. We can't even believe God for anything if Jesus is not involved in our believing process. And that doesn't mean just the name or just the man. That means what he did, because that's the open door to be able to get to the throne to get everything that we have need of. The gospel is about the cross of Christ. It's the good news that God's opened the door, and the shepherd, good shepherd, went in first, and the flock is following him. Hallelujah. And the cross was the door that opened. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Paul had a life that they could see and look at. Paul wasn't somebody 15,000 miles away. Paul wasn't 400-500 miles away. Somebody that people just fought. Paul could be seen. Paul many times would go get a job because he didn't want to be a burden to the people there, just to prove, I ain't here for your money. I'm here for you. I'm here to give you the gospel and nothing but the gospel. And with the gospel, you get everything else. But without the gospel, you don't get anything else. See, he says, you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. He had a life, and those that traveled with him could be seen among them. They lived this. They weren't just proclaiming this. They lived this. We've got to live this. How many times, who knows how many, the Lord has just blatantly asked me, do you believe what you're preaching? And he asked me in the most special times, let's say, do you believe what you're preaching? You preaching the cross. I remember some years ago, Brother Swaggart said, yeah, Francis asked me, aren't y'all preaching the cross? And he said, yes, ma'am. And she said, well, when you gonna start living it? And the Lord will ask you in the most peculiar time, you think, you'll know it's not, you in a cross preaching church. You say your faith is in the cross. Are you believing it? Because just a while ago, anybody know what I'm talking about? This is probably just a message for me. Y'all don't take a nap, would you? He'll ask you right in the, do you believe what you're preaching? Do you believe this great gospel? I know you did, but do you now? Because only faith is only now. Now faith is, or now faith is not. Amen. Watch this now. As you know what manner of men we were among you for whose sake? Not to look at us. You know what manner of men we were for your sake. There's a lot of things that a Christian just not going to be able to do, that their flesh would like to do for your sake. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? There's a lot of things that I'd like to do, and there wouldn't be nothing wrong with doing it, but if I spent that time on that, I couldn't do for you what God's called me to do for you. This is an encouraging message. Some people don't see messages like this as encouraging. They're like, well, we're all in a different place now, bless God. And that's true. But we're always, you got to imagine what it must have been like to walk with Jesus in his earthly ministry. Somebody who's perfect, so perfect his brothers wouldn't have nothing to do with him. Can you imagine being raised among siblings, a sibling, say there's five or six of you, and one of them, he don't do no wrong. Now we say that today in a way that it's just words, but he didn't do no wrong. And all the rest of them wasn't nothing but wrong. Imagine that. Folk don't even, today don't even like to be around somebody, I'm talking about Christians, don't really like to be around somebody that's just really living for Jesus. It's too convicting for them. Well, they sure wouldn't want to be around Jesus. Because we'll slip every once in a while and make them feel kind of comfortable about us. But Jesus didn't have no slipping. Okay, let's get back in it. Okay, Sister Gladys. Verse 6, and you became followers of us. They saw something of God's power in these men who were delivering a message, the gospel, that they believed, and it had an effect on them because what they were seeing it do for them. See, that's what the gospel does. It's not about a church or a cross-preaching church. Thank God for them. But it's about a people who are being changed by the gospel. Not just saved, but changed by the gospel to the degree that other people, now most today, they're going to want to stay away from you, but there is some that are going to see the power of the gospel in your life and they're going to want it. They're going to want that. I know what I'm talking about. Because it says here that you became followers of us. Think about that. When we begin to hear the message of the cross, we begin to follow folk preaching it. You sitting in the cross preaching church tonight because there's a preacher and a few of them here preaching the cross. Amen. And you're not really following us. But to some degree you are, but the only reason you're following us is because of the gospel focus. That's the only reason people go to Crossway Church. If it weren't for the cross, I might know Dickie. That's about it. And the Parks family who was in that before we know what we know now. Everybody else, I probably still wouldn't know you. Seeing you on the pork and bean aisle at Walmart, that's a nice fella. We wouldn't know each other, though, if it weren't for the focus of the Lamb. That is what brought every one of us together. That right there is the proof the power of God is in the gospel. He's the one who has assembled us together for this great focus. We didn't do it. Man, we're criticized and lambasted and talked negative about all over the place, but we just keep believing what we believe, and that's the gospel. Anybody got any questions? Are they free to come ask? Seem like nobody does. They just go and go talk. You know why they don't come? Because they know we're going to throw this out there on the table. That right there is why nobody's asking questions except the hungry. People who just want to go out and talk, they don't want to get in that. Let's back up and read this now. Verse 5 again. I like backing up. Y'all ever notice we like backing up around here? That's cause one time, man, it's like Wheaties, ain't it? Ain't that cereal you just can't? No, that's Lay's potato chip. One time food just ain't near enough. I do this in my teaching sessions. I do this here because, my goodness, I notice every time I back up, I get a whole new picture. For our gospel, verse 5, came not unto you in word only. Just didn't come talking. But also, the gospel came to you in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. This gospel, listen, this gospel brings so much assurance that your heart, there's scripture to clarify, to verify this, that your heart can walk and exist in a place of true assurance, full assurance, a true heart of full assurance of faith, something like that. Full assurance. Now, full assurance, that's a statement. Because if you're fully sure of what you believe, every little wind of doctrine that blows through not going to make you stagger. Somebody you're close to starts looking another way, don't mean you're going to follow them off because they're close to you. If you're sure about what you got, you ain't leaving because somebody else left. Not this faith, not this power. This is a power. The power of God, man, is like the fire, man. Y'all know about fire? You ever been burnt by a flame? You ever been burnt by the fire? All of us have, probably. It'll burn you up alive. It'll kill you. That's how God reveals himself to us. Hebrews 10:29, he says, I am a consuming. God is a consuming fire. He's always revealed himself as fire. Always. He was in the burning bush when he called Moses up the mountain. Imagine that, a bush burning but not burning up because it was God. Burning bush, God revealing himself to Moses. Then he was in, revealed himself as fire in the pillar of fire for Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. And then he revealed himself as the fire that was the Shekinah glory between the cherubim. And then on Pentecost, the fire, hallelujah. God came into the new covenant rushing in like fiery tongues, hallelujah. Ready to preach the gospel now all over the world. Fire. The gospel has a fire to it. It'll burn in your heart. That's God. That excitement, that joy over the gospel, that's God. That's not just feelings and emotions. You have them, but that's the work of God in you when the focus is the gospel. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, not just us, but of the Lord. You didn't just follow us, but you followed us and the Lord. You can't just follow some man. You got to follow those that's walking with the Lord. And there ain't none of them walking with the Lord today that their focus is not the gospel. You know that, and that's scriptural. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. They still received the word even though it was in much affliction. Even though their families were criticizing them, their co-workers, everybody, a much affliction, but they still received the word. Think about that. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that, here's the fruit, even more fruit, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. To receive the gospel, the word of the gospel, it was in much affliction, but the Bible says that they became examples, even in their affliction because of their receiving the word of the gospel. Listen. People are trying everywhere to talk you out of getting your focus off the cross. They everywhere. They a dime a dozen. Talking about you ain't got to talk about the gospel all the time. You ain't got to talk about the cross all the time. Or the gospel is really not just the cross. And all that's a pack of lies. It's all a pack of lies. You got to preach the cross, because if you don't, you're not preaching the gospel. Pretty simple to children. All right, now let's go to the second one, 2 Thessalonians 1, just two verses, 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. Everybody doing good tonight? Verse 11, 2 Thessalonians 1, wherefore also we pray always for you. Paul, do you ever notice that? Can I say tonight that I pray for all of our church? I pray for you every day. No, I don't call out every name, but I do call out some names every day. And I call out the next day different names. And I do post on our Facebook page about every Monday a personal message to y'all. But I pray for you because God made me a pastor. He didn't make me a pastor to get up here and talk. He made me a pastor to preach the gospel and to pray for the people. And to help them along in their time of need. And I can't do anything to help you but point you to where the one who can help you. Amen. I can give you a dollar if you need it. I can give you a drink of water if you need it. I can come say, come on, get out of there. You ain't got no heat. Come over here and get a blanket. Come on. But the main function for me is to preach the gospel, love you, and pray for you. And the Lord has called us to do that. And we do that. Because it's what we're called to. And really, you're called to pray for each other as well. And I hope you do. I really hope your lives are given to the gospel. Because if it is, then the fruit of the gospel that you'll find in the scriptures, it's going to be in your life. Amen. Loving each other, praying for each other, being merciful to each other, not looking down on each other, not looking up at each other, but just running this race, thankful you can look along the side of you and see others running this race along with you, fighting the same good fight of faith that you are, living in the same bag, bone, dirt bag, flesh bodies that we all live in who got lots of problems, but we just keep striving together for the faith of the gospel. The faith of the gospel, not the faith of it, the faith of the gospel. That's what we're striving together right here for. It do you good, drive cross country, sell everything you got and get in one of these cross preaching churches. Wherefore also we pray always for you Thessalonians that our God would count you worthy of this calling. See, if that's being prayed for, that means there's a possibility that it might not be happening. Do you understand it? I mean, to be counted worthy of this calling that we all have, this is not talking about preachers. This is talking about running the race that God set before us. This is talking about letting our lives become the gospel. This is talking about having fruit that others can see in word and in our lives. Hallelujah. If Paul is having to pray for them that God would be able to count us worthy of this calling and to be able to fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, then there's a possibility that that might not be happening. And I know it's true from my own personal experience in my own life. There was a time in my life, and we still don't get it perfectly every moment, do we? But there was a long period, consecutive period in my life as a backslidden Christian that I was not living in a way that God could count worthy of the calling He gave me as a child of God. And I was not fulfilling all the good pleasure of His goodness that He had offered and given to me. But thank God for the gospel. I heard it from behind me one day. God ain't got a special setting in church or somewhere. He'll just put the gospel. You might be sitting downtown New York City in your car in a taxi cab with you roll the window down to take a picture of something, and somebody said, "Do you really believe Jesus died for you and He's coming back for you? And if you do, why you living like you're living?" And you might hear that and drive off in the taxi, and God change your life, because the power is not in a building, it's not in a preacher, it's in the simplicity of Christ and Him crucified, the gospel. It'll change your life. And when your life is being changed, somebody else's is going to be changed. That's the way God works. If your life is being changed, you can write it down. You might not even know who it is, but if your life's being changed, somebody else is going to be changed. Might be your spouse, might be your kids, might be your coworkers, might be somebody you don't even know. Wherefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. We ought to go to bed every night saying, thank you for calling me. Oh, thank you for calling me. Called you to Calvary. And you went by faith. You yielded to that calling. And you stepped into this place where the possibility, the potential was there to find yourself by faith through the Spirit fulfilling all the good pleasure of God's goodness for your life. That ain't got much to do with fleshly stuff. That's an inner work. I said that's an inner work. We're too focused on the outward temporal things that are going to perish. We need to be more focused on the things that we cannot see with these eyes, but that we can see when we're found in the work of faith. Let's back up. Verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. We ought to start praying for that around here. God, we want the work of faith with power. We want the work of faith with power. And I promise you, if you start praying for that, what He's going to do is give you a clear picture of Calvary. He's not going to just dump some power on you because you're asking for power. He's going to show you where the power comes from and what it really truly looks like. It looks like humility and obedience. It don't look like I can do this and I can do that. It looks like, man, on the inside, the ones the kingdom belongs to are the spiritual poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. This inner poverty, this inner poverty where I'm broke down, I know I can't do anything of myself. This inner poverty looks like the poverty of somebody sleeping in the ditch out there in the natural. That's what this inner poverty looks like. I'm broke down. I can't take one step without Jesus. I can't speak one word that's right without Jesus. I can't do one work that's not of Jesus. If I do, it won't be the work of the faith that's of Jesus. We got to know that we do have a treasure living in us, but that's so the power might be of God and not of us. Watch this. And fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. That, verse 12, that the name, here's why, not so you can look like something, preacher, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in us. See, New Covenant, I want the Lord Jesus Christ in His name to be glorified in me. See, we're reading it in the Bible, aren't we? The possibility is there. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what Paul is saying. We pray for you all the time. We never stop praying for you so that our God will be able to count you worthy. Is He able to count you worthy? I'm not talking about, I didn't ask you, do you ever make mistakes? I said, do you know where to look and where to hang on to and where to keep believing, where to yield your heart to all the time in spite of the mistakes that we make? We do. We know where to look. We know where to yield. We know what to trust in. The cross of Christ, His death. Wherefore, we never stop praying for you that our God would be able to count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him. See, this mutual place of glory is Him being glorified in us and us being glorified in Him. Is that what my Bible says? I believe it is. It's written right there. Don't look for a picture, it'll mess you up. The Bible says. Everybody say the Bible is right. that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him. The only place of glory is the one who is the hope of glory in us and our hope of glory in Him. Only in Christ and Christ in us. This is things the world can't see unless they see the gospel in our lives. They got to see the gospel. They got to know more than where you go to church and who your preacher is. Oh, I go to Brother So-and-so. You know, people ask me all the time, you know that preacher? I said, I don't know him. I say that all. I've said that for years, and I mean it too. Do you know Pat? I don't know him. I don't know many preachers. What do you mean? Well, man, I listen to cross-eyed preachers. I listen to preachers preaching the cross. I'm not being funny. I'm not being smart. I listen to those that preach what Paul preached. Paul was the one God sent to the Gentiles. I found a book that God gave Paul to give to me. Listen, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, grace, without grace, and that's the spirit of grace. Not, grace is not just a word. You've been around here very long. Faith, the spirit of faith. Grace, the spirit of grace. Truth, the spirit of truth. The truth that is of the spirit. Grace that is of the spirit. Faith that is of the spirit. We can't live by faith without the spirit. We can't walk in truth without the Spirit. We can't function in grace without the Holy Spirit. You ought to be glad that you have the Holy Spirit. Because you have Him, you have access to everything you need to, listen, to be counted worthy of this calling you've received and to be found before God, fulfilling all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. One last scripture, you already know it, and then I'm quitting. John 6, 26 through 29. John 6, 26 through 29. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not. He's talking about working. Work. Work not for the meat which perishes, but work for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. Give unto you, for Him has God the Father sealed. Well, that's a whole nother message. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this, everybody say this, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He sent. There is no work of faith that's not a belief on Jesus. Rivers of living water flowing from our innermost belly. You know what's required for that to happen? Jesus said, if you believe on me as the Scriptures have said. Not just believe the Scriptures for anything. If you believe on me as the Scriptures have said. Rivers of living water. Why does the church not have rivers of living water flowing up from its innermost being? Because we're trying to use the Word of God for everything other than believing on Jesus. That is the work of God. That's the work of God that we've been given to do. To believe on Jesus. That's too easy, brother. You got to do more than just believe on Him. No, in believing on Him, the Holy Spirit then guides us into all that will be found in the work of faith. Work of faith. Would you stand with me tonight?